Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we talk beyond just strength and muscle mass and into metabolic and hormonal health that can be available to you through the Perfect Workout. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keen, our Director of Training. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Episode 6. They can't stop us now. The momentum's here.
We did it.
Yep.
6 of them.
Best of luck.
It's a franchise now.
That's right. So we promised that we're going to go a little bit deeper in some of these things. And our philosophy in these podcasts is try to keep these things super short, super concise, and just give some quick tips and education that people can go, oh, cool. We're overcoming some of those barriers, just like the reason the Perfect Workout exists, to exercise. But at the same time, knowledge is power. And so getting a little deeper into some of these things is important. Just like we talked about in the last episode, if you're using some piece of technology and you don't know that it affords something, it benefits you in a certain way, then it might as well not do that. So a few of these episodes coming up, including today, we're just going to go deeper with Mr. Keen here on some of the extra benefits that you get from strength training outside of just, which is huge, VO2, bone density, muscle, hypertrophy. I can say that better next time. Yeah. Et cetera. Right? That's not water in my can here. So today's topic, metabolic and hormonal health. Jim, take it away.
So like you're saying, everybody realizes, okay, I'm doing strength training. I'm going to get stronger. And then I'm going to develop my muscles, their size and their shape and some of the other stuff we've talked about. But there's so much more going on under the hood that the same thing you said about if someone doesn't know something's happening, it might as well not be doing it. So a lot of people, well, I'll even zoom out further. In America and in the world, there's basically an epidemic of metabolic disorder, metabolic disease. So this is diabetes. This is hypertension, blood pressure. This is an inability to handle and control blood sugar and glucose. This is a dysregulation of insulin and insulin signaling. High levels of inflammatory cytokines and interleukin-6 and other inflammatory markers that you can measure in the blood. Your blood lipids, your highly sensitive C-reactive protein that they measure to track your system-wide inflammation. All of these things can be, it's a constellation of things that can be understood as your metabolic health, your metabolic flexibility, how all the parts work with each other and the interchange. So something that strength training does, we'll start with like images because we all think in pictures. Mm-hmm. So if somebody has pre-metabolic syndrome or pre-diabetes, and if you have more than 30, 40, 50 pounds on you, you are to some degree insulin resistant and you have some manner of metabolic dysfunction. So think of that like a bathtub that's overflowing. Mm-hmm. You have the faucet, that's the food you're eating, that's going into the tub. And then you don't have any mechanism by which you can pull the drain plug. So your body can store fat almost infinitely, and it can store sugar coming in as glycogen. And glycogen is just the storage form of glucose. So, you know, think of the plastic little monkey toys that all clink together? That's glycogen. Mm. And when it's time to burn one of them, the body removes one of the monkeys, does glycolysis. So lysis is to cleave glyco sugar, cleaving sugar off of the monkey chain and grabbing one of them. And there's a bing, 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 you know, like a Plinko.
Yeah.
It's like a game of Plinko. Doot, 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 doot. And each one is a combustion that produces ATP right now, fight or flight, in the cytosol, anaerobically, without oxygen, just right now. And that is what we do in strength training, burning the sugar. So what that does is pull the drain plug on the bathtub so that finally the water level can begin to drop. Now that water level in our analogy is the excess energy and the excess sugar coming in. And if you don't do anything with it, it'll overflow. And the bathtub overflows and gums up the works in so many different ways. Your body can take that overflow and turn it into fat in the liver, fat around the pancreas, fat around the heart, subcutaneous fat under your skin. And all of these things contribute to the metabolic syndrome, the metabolic problem I was describing before. So strength training is incredibly potent for a few reasons at preventing this, at reversing this. The first thing is just physical. You burn sugar very, very rapidly with our workouts that are very intense. So you're performing strength training at a high level of effort, and you're burning that sugar faster and faster and faster, emptying your reservoirs of sugar in the body, your largest skeletal muscles. So our bathtubs are being emptied. The drain plug is being pulled, such that even if you don't change anything with the diet, the faucets are still on. In other words, it gets to go somewhere instead of overflowing. So that's the first thing. And it also happens independent of insulin. So there's transporters inside all of our cells that travel from the nucleus to the cell membrane to take in sugar. They only are active after muscle contraction. So without that muscle contraction, the only way the sugar can get somewhere out of the bloodstream is using insulin.
Mm.
So that still works, but if you have powerful muscle contractions, it sensitizes the muscle cells to take in sugar even when insulin's not there, so it doesn't stress the pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
So in response to powerful muscular contractions, the body wants to soak up the sugar from the blood. We're burning the sugar in the muscles, and all of this has a potent series of downstream effects. And less sugar in the blood means less inflammation, fewer cytokines. The system can finally just relax a little bit. So this metabolic cascade effect that happens from serious intense strength training, we'll just say if there was a pill that could do this, it would be billions of dollars per year in revenue or an injection or something. There's not. Closest thing we have is a non-invasive outpatient procedure we can do. Takes about 20 minutes or a few times a week.
Yeah.
But so that metabolic and hormonal health piece of strength training, it starts there, but also androgens, your testosterone, your growth hormone, that is provoked by, and those are all pulsatile. You don't just have one level of these things.
Okay.
There's a pulsatile, like in the middle of the night, that's when we get our big growth hormone spike. And we'll talk about sleep coming up in another episode.
Yeah.
So long as you've done it right, you get that big spike in growth hormone. But when you're doing high intensity, or I should say high effort contractions with muscle, especially using large compound movements, the more muscle mass, the better in this for this purpose, your levels of testosterone and growth hormone over time can rise, especially in step two of that three-step process I talked about. You damage and deplete your muscles in your body during the workout. As part of the recovery process, your body will increase your androgens and your recovery chemicals. Hmm. So in order to get that going, it's still just the same workout, but it's doing all these things you maybe didn't know it was doing.
Right.
You think you're just, I'm getting stronger, which is cool, but you are fixing your metabolic overflowing bathtub. You are increasing your androgens. You're reducing your inflammation. Your entire metabolic picture, everything the doctor would take your blood work and look at, all that is getting a lot better. So these are just some of the things that are the metabolic and hormonal consequences of these high effort muscular contractions against resistance in the studios.
So let me ask you a few questions and go a little deeper here, but is it also fair to say that not only are you emptying those bathtubs, but you're also adding more bathtubs?
Oh, right, right. So that's a few ways that muscle growth can happen. There's hypertrophy, and then there's hyperplasia, which is one muscle fiber getting bigger, and then there's splitting off into multiple muscle fibers. But either way it happens, you are increasing the volume. So you're building a bigger reservoir. And so if you double the amount of muscle you have in your legs and your arms and your trunk, now the same diet, the same amount of incoming carbohydrate and incoming sugar, now you have this bigger bathtub. That same amount is going to fill up only half of the tub in what used to overflow.
Right.
So by building yourself a larger reservoir, you have given yourself a lot more headroom before you overflow.
Beautiful.
Right. And so, and then the other thing is that muscle is very metabolically expensive to maintain. And your body will do everything it can not to build any more of it because it's very expensive. And at a certain point, it becomes like what we want is those bigger bathtubs, right?
Right.
So we can eat more and burn more without overflowing. But each pound of muscle that you gain is very metabolically active. So it also can increase your total daily energy expenditure so that you have more headroom. Everyone on diets, their TDEE tends to slow down. They burn less. It's like a house who lost an income.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we turn off the lights earlier and we don't go out for dinner anymore and we just hooked up. That's us on a diet. So when we feed the fire and we strength train and we feed the fire and we strength train, we can rebuild our metabolic rate. That if we dieted without strength training,
right,
this is metabolic disaster.
This is why so many people would agree that doing something like taking a GLP-1, it's vital that you strength train.
Right.
because, and we'll talk about this in a future episode, but we're going to talk about the difference between weight loss and fat loss.
Right.
And you're just kind of touching on that here, but
Yeah. So the metabolic effects of having muscle, even beyond just the effects of the workout itself, using the muscle, just having the muscle 3 months, 6 months, 9 months from now, when you're walking around with another 5 or 10 pounds of this metabolically active magic tissue, you've built a bigger bathtub. You're not going to overflow. Inflammation goes down. And muscle is also an endocrine organ, basically. It releases hormones into the blood. And a lot of this is kind of emerging research over the last 5 to 10 years. But it's incredible what they found that it does, even just existing.
Can you speak a little bit to, I think a lot of people are familiar now, and we have a lot more to learn here, but people hear about like, yeah, we got glucose and fixing some of these things when it comes to diabetes, et cetera, and the way this works with the muscle, et cetera. But what about insulin resistance?
Mm-hmm.
So the other side of that coin.
Yeah. So over time, if you abuse the system enough and you eat often enough and you eat as much, and it's maybe processed food, especially sugars and high fructose corn syrup or even regular sugar, but in excess. If you eat too much too often, because the food is so tasty that you just happen to eat more, join the club. There's billions of dollars per, these food companies pay billions and billions of dollars per year to research how to make food more addictive. It's just like casino research. And there's certain people who just addicted, right?
Nice.
So it's not, it's all, the system is designed to get you pre-diabetic because then you get to buy their medicine. So the effect on insulin resistance of the muscle hinges on that sugar transporter I mentioned before. GLUT4 is the one that is non-insulin mediated, does not require the use of insulin. So imagine this, you are a tissue in the body and you're a cell and you're looking around and there's a bloodstream and you see a bunch of glucose, but you see a lot of it and you take a lot of it in and you've got enough. It's coming up the works, but more is coming in. And you have these little doors on the cell membrane that accept the glucose from the bloodstream into the cell. At a certain point, you're going to say no more. We have no more room. No, thank you. And then you remove these doors and you become resistant to the effects of insulin. And insulin is like, hey, my buddy here, glucose, he needs in. He wants to get in. Go away. No, no, thank you. So the chaperone, the insulin that takes it in, you say, no, we're becoming resistant to insulin. No, thanks. And so that it just goes straight to the fat tissue and the liver, especially, and starts causing downstream problems. Right. So there's a couple ways. So the bathtubs are flowing. So there's a couple ways that strength training, I wouldn't say fixes the problem. To fix the problem, you need to also adjust your diet. However, by using all the sugar in the muscles, because the liver can store a little bit of glycogen, obviously, to regulate blood sugar. But mainly, the largest reservoir of glycogen in the body is all the largest skeletal muscles. And then the brain uses some, heart uses some. But the majority is in the muscles. So if you multiple times per week can have a full body workout that you feel an intense burn, once you feel that, you know you're burning some good sugar. If you can cycle that twice, three times per week in a way that doesn't hurt you. And so it's, you can persist in it. You can adhere to it because it doesn't hurt you. You know exactly where you stand, all those things we mentioned in the previous episode. Right. So you have adherence. If you can do that habitually, pretty soon those cells will once again become sensitive to the signal from insulin. All of a sudden there's room for sugar coming in because we burn all, like a large proportion of it, we burn off twice per week.
Yeah.
And so now, okay, insulin, we're ready to listen to you. You got a buddy, we have room for him.
Yeah.
In here, you know?
Exactly.
And then if you happen to also change your diet to where you're eating real foods and not stuff that laboratory technicians were paid to make more addictive, if you can eat real foods as close to natural as you can get, and as a little processing as possible, then you will have this double whammy where you've turned off your faucets and you've pulled your drain plug, so the water's going down. Now we have good relationship with insulin.
Yep.
And that insulin resistance is the first domino that falls to so many different health problems. And it turns out really intense contractions of muscle against resistance are, are one of the most potent things you can do for this purpose.
So we're going to talk about, I want to go into protein here, but we're going to talk about that in a future episode because we mentioned nutrition, right? And this is sort of the one thing on that side of the coin. But let's say you go in, get some blood work. You got some of these markers, you said pre-diabetic, so your A1C, your resting glucose, a bunch of these things are higher. And then you go, okay, well, where do I start? Right?
Yeah.
I think the point to be made here is to start right where we've been talking about through all these episodes is exercise.
Right.
Rather than I've got to go fix this thing and get on this drug and do this thing when it comes to my insulin resistance or diabetes or fatty liver or whatever the case may be. If I start exercising effectively, and like you said, pay attention to nutrition, we're going to get into that in a future episode. That's actually the place to start versus...
Yeah, if you start with a drug, you're making the bed while the house is on fire. The low-hanging fruit is work with muscle. Mm-hmm. So effort produced by a muscle, force produced by muscle. And there's a million ways to do it. Just like there's horses and cars and there's bicycles, you could walk, there's hoverboards, helicopters, airplanes. There's a lot of ways to travel. Mm-hmm. However, there's trade-offs in terms of safety and efficiency, convenience, and ease of use and so forth. So with exercise, yes, you could go jogging. Yes, you could go for a walk. Yes, you could do a spin class. Yes, you could do this, 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 this. But at the end of the day, it's just about producing force with muscle.
Yep.
So what's the safest, most consistent way that you can do that? That's what we do. We make it dead simple. It's 20 minutes, a few times a week. It's simple to do, and we walk you through the whole process. That is the first step to take before you consider drugs. If you get a scary blood test and your HbA1c is over 5.6 and your fasting glucose is over 100 and your highly sensitive C-reactive protein is like 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first things first, let's get exercising.
Yep.
Let's get moving and let's access the muscles without undermining the joints in the process, without wasting our time in the process. Let's start there. And then usually people have habits in tandem. Mm. So if you start one good thing, you're more likely to start this other good thing. And if you stack those habits, if you do the one thing, you'll also do the others.
Right.
So you might start shopping on the outside of the grocery store, and you might start showing up twice or three times per week at the local Perfect Workout. And you might use these things and you might start getting to sleep at a decent hour,
right,
and not falling asleep with the TV on in a Lazy Boy.
Are we going to talk about that?
Yeah, you might start sleeping well. So yeah, they all go together.
So let me wrap this up by saying, and we talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but you know, part of our philosophy is to really just stay out of your way, right? This is exercise quickly. Right? We don't want to say, 20 minutes twice a week, come in and do your exercise. And then there's these other 57,000 things you should do so that you don't have to adhere. And at the same time, we talked about this in the last episode too, trying to leverage systems and technologies in a way that help you get things done and track things that are important more efficiently matters. So, you know, quick plug, we've partnered with Inside Tracker. People can come in, they can get much more cost effectively than they can elsewhere.
Yeah.
A full comprehensive view of
a fraction of the price.
Yeah. Of their blood panel, their blood work. So if you're curious, if you're strength training with us and you're curious, like, hey, how do I check this out? And how do I check it out in the future and look at the improvements and some of the movements here? That's something that our coaches and our PeakWell program can help you with too. So all right, metabolic and hormonal health, Jim. Looks like you're going to want that too.
You're going to want that.
Yeah. Awesome, man. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.